Welcome to On the Mic Podcast. This is your host, Tim Drake. On today's episode, I have comedian and podcaster Barbara Gray. It was great to sit down with Barbara at the Inner Sanctum at UCB on Sunset out in Los Angeles, and catch up a little bit. I first had kind of very, very briefly met Barbara during the Salt Lake Comedy Carnival a few years back, and we've been friends on Facebook ever since, but never really talked. Other than a quick hello at the Salt Lake Comedy Carnival. So it was great to sit down with her and learn a little bit more about her. I always see, you know, so many just awesome things that Barbara's doing with her podcast, Lady to Lady. Some of the short videos that she's had up on Comedy Central. Some of the awesome shows she's been part of at the Comedy Store. And I wanted to learn more about the process that she's gone through. Also with Lady to Lady, you know, they've done a lot of great live shows at UCB out in Los Angeles. And just a lot of cool stuff that I've always been really impressed with Barbara's career as it's just continually growing. And I wanted to be able to sit down and talk with her. If you're in New York City, Barbara is there the rest of this month. A lot of great shows that she's doing. I think she's performing almost every single night out there. So, you know, you're definitely not going to want to miss that. Tonight, if you're listening to this today, October 21st, Back to the Future Day, Barbara's performing at the Front Room at the Knitting Factory at 9 p.m. tonight in New York City. So, if you're listening in New York, get out and go see her. I know she has a lot of other great shows this week. UCB East, looks like the Village Lantern, the Duplex, the Cake Shop, Beauty Bar, Pyramid Club, Niagara Bar. Make sure you log online. You can follow her on Twitter at Babs Gray. And you'll see all of those tour dates up there that she's doing out in New York City. So go check her out. And I think you guys are really going to like this episode. She's definitely, you know, one of my favorite up-and-coming comedians. Later that night after we'd recorded this, we actually got to see Barbara do a little stand-up over at Meltdown for Nerdist Open Mic over there. And it was absolutely a fantastic set. It was a lot of fun to see her be able to perform live out there. And I think you guys will really enjoy this. Make sure you start following her on all the social media outlets that, of course, will be linked up on the website. And make sure you check out her podcast, Lady to Lady. So many fantastic guests. I know last week, I think, was when they finally released the Margaret Cho episode. And we talk a little bit about that on this this episode, as well as, you know, Kay Cannon, French Stewart, so many of the great guests that they've had on the show, and kind of how those relationships have been built. As I mentioned a minute ago, it is Back to the Future Day. I am so excited and a little bit nostalgic about today, because it's, you know, after today, everything in Back to the Future is now in the past. There's no more future for those of us watching it with it. Well, I mean, we all have our future, but, you know, the movie, there's no more Marty going into the future because it's now in the past. And it's insane to think that, you know, for years we've looked at it in, like, October 21st, 2015, the Cubbies are going to win the World Series, which is insane that, you know, they're actually, you know, in the National League Championship Series, and that's all the sports talk we're going to have on here. But it's crazy that, you know, Back to the Future, you know, makes that, you know, just random. The Cubbies win the World Series and they're actually getting pretty close. And that's just insane. But hey, we don't have a Jaws 19 trailer yet. So, you know, I'm a little disappointed. You know, it's not the 2015 I expected. I wanted Jaws 19. Where is Jaws 19? But I hope if you're listening and you own Back to the Future or you own a computer, since it is 2015, you can stream it. They've got it on iTunes. They've got it plenty of places to watch. Watch Back to the Future 2. Don't complain about the plot holes. Yeah, we get that there's plot holes, but for nostalgic purposes, watch it today. It's going to be fun. You're going to love it if you've never seen it before. Believe it or not, Austin, you guys have all, you know, heard Austin, my producing partner, on the show here. Austin had never seen any of the Back to the Futures until just a few months ago. So we had to make things right, and I sat him down and made him watch the entire trilogy all in one day. So he's now righted his wrong, and he loves them as well now. So I know he'll be watching it today too. So, you know, we're going to do it. You should do it. Watch Back to the Future Part 2. Thank you again, everybody that has, especially after last week's episode with Kyle Clark, so many people, sent so many kind words, really enjoying that episode, and especially congratulating us on 50 episodes. you know, it's a small milestone in the podcast, but yeah, it was kind of cool to get some messages from people congratulating us on the 50 episodes. Jesse Knight, my good friend that came out with us to Los Angeles, I think he chimes up on this episode. This was kind of the first episode we recorded out there, and he was a little nervous about piping in, but you might hear Jesse a little bit on this episode as well. But yeah, we had such a fantastic time. Again, thank you to UCB for letting us set up in the Inner Sanctum there and record this episode. And again, thank you to Barbara Gray for taking the time out to record this episode. I know her schedule's busy, especially she was preparing to go out to New York the next couple weeks here. And again, yeah, if you're in New York City, go check her out. And if you're in LA, you know, she performs a lot out there, and you're not going to want to miss her. If you've never seen her, you know, follow her on Twitter, on Facebook, on the Instagram. You know, follow Lady to Lady on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and, you know, you'll be able to keep up with what they're doing. And, you know, fantastic show, fantastic panel on that show. So, yeah, make sure you check them out. Enjoy this episode. And, hey, yeah, if you're not following me already, follow me at Tim Drake. Follow On The Mic Podcast at On The Mic Podcast. We have a lot of awesome episodes in the works right now. So, yeah, you're not going to want to miss these. So enjoy this episode with Barbara Gray, and enjoy Back to the Future Day. Up. I know Jordan Mazziotti that does the It's Always Funny in Salt Lake. Like a year ago, he was on the show and was just like, have you ever talked with Barbara Gray? And I was just like, no, I met her at the Salt Lake Comedy Carnival real quick in passing.
Yeah.
And I was like, but I've seen all of her stuff all over online. He's like, you've got to have her on the show at some point.
Oh, that's cool. Thank you, Jordan.
So now, you grew up in Salt Lake, correct?
Yeah, I grew up, I was born in Palm Springs in California, but I grew up in Salt Lake from like second grade, so I call it, I mean, it's home to me, you know.
So when was it that you had finally moved out this way?
I moved out to LA. I was just thinking about it today because I was trying to figure out how long I've been doing stand-up. I moved out, I think, almost, oh my god, almost 9 years ago. No way. Is that right? Yeah. 8 or 9 years ago. I don't know. Now I can't remember. When was 2005? I guess that was
10 years ago.
No, it wasn't 2005. It was 2008. Oh, my God. I don't know what's wrong with me. So, I think 8 years ago, yeah. So, been in L.A. for a minute now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, was it comedy that initially kind of drove you to come back out here? Or?
I had studied, like, filmmaking at the University of Utah.
Okay.
And so, I knew I wanted to, like, work in that. And then I was just, like, obsessed with comedy. And, you know, I'd see, like, the lineups for shows out here and just be like, I want to be there. So, I just came out because of that, and then I started doing stand-up out here 7 years ago in October. Yeah. So
did you ever try any stand-up like back in Salt Lake, like
any
of the Wise Guys?
Twice, I think I did a Wise Guys mic like once, and then yeah, but I didn't really do it. I was like not very like, I've never really been like at comedy clubs very much. I was always very much more in the like independent scene, so I didn't really go to Wise Guys very much, and then there wasn't really that big of a scene there at that point. There's more now, you know.
There's like an open mic, it feels like, almost every single night
there. Yeah, which is awesome. So I just kind of, I didn't really do anything there. I mostly started here, so yeah.
So, I mean, have you had a chance to really go back much and kind of see how, like, the Salt Lake scene has changed?
Yeah, it's awesome. It looks like it's growing and growing, you know, and the carnival is really awesome and has helped, I think, you know, bring in some people. I know they're not doing it this year, but hopefully they will next year.
I don't even know if they did it last year.
No, they did it last year.
Oh, no, they did, because I remember they had a really cool shirt and I couldn't go.
Yeah, I know they did it last year, but I think they're taking a year off because, you know, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it definitely is.
But I think festivals do really help, like, get the word out of, like, a scene, you know, a city's comedy scene or whatever. But yeah, it's been cool to like go back and like see how it's grown, and you know, there's a lot of good shows now, and the comics are getting really good. So
yeah, they definitely are. It's been weird. Even I mean, I only started jumping into comedy stuff in like 2012, and just seeing how certain comics in that scene have just exploded in the things that they're doing. Like, I mean, Jay Whitaker. I don't know if you've seen much of Jay.
Oh yeah, he's hilarious.
I went to one of the first shows that he had really ever done. After, I mean, he'd been doing, I think, comedy for like 6 or 7 months, and then he opened for Chris Kattan.
That's awesome.
And I was just like, holy shit, this guy is hilarious. And for some reason, I got a picture with him after the show, and I don't even remember why. And it's like, Jay and I are really good friends now, but like to see like him starting at that, you know, smaller show, and then hosting for Captain America,
right?
And or Chris Evans and Anthony Mackie and Haley Atwell this last week at Salt Lake Comic Con.
Oh, that's so cool.
Where his name's been like plastered over all over like USA Today, and
that's
like
awesome.
I think it was UpRocks. Like the next day had his name in there, and I sent him the thing, and I was like, I guess you're making national news now. And he just responded with, holy shit.
What was the, like, the news? It was just about the Comic-Con?
So during the panel, he challenged Anthony Mackie to a push-up contest.
Oh, okay. That's hilarious.
And it's hilarious if you watch. Like, they were almost in sync on certain parts, and it was completely improvised.
That's awesome.
But it was pretty cool. But just to see even, like, him just
It's really fun
to
watch
explode.
Comics host those kind of things.
Yeah.
Because they'll definitely, like, bring a different flavor to it than your normal like panel host or whatever. That's awesome. Yeah, no, Jay's great. I mean, Tasha Maurer is so funny. I love her.
Is.
I just messaged her and I was like, come out to LA, why don't you do shows? And Jason Harvey, and yeah, all those guys are really awesome.
And Jason just did a show with one of your Lady to Lady.
With Brandy Posey.
Yeah.
He's been so cool. She just kind of put it out there. She was like, I'm trying to get ready for my album. And he was like, come out here, I'll give you 3 shows in a row that you can, like, do an hour.
Yeah.
He's great. He's fucking awesome. Yeah, but it's been really cool to go back and, like, see the scene grow, and, like, you know, it's nice to... I come back a lot just to hang out with my family and stuff, but, like, it's so nice to, like, know I can come back and, like, there's, like, good shows to do and stuff, too, so it's nice.
Yeah, Club 50 West downtown now, they only opened back in December.
Mm-hmm.
It was initially supposed to be a Wise Guys.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
And then there was...
Something happened.
There was a...
They need a club downtown, so...
There is one coming.
Okay, cool. I feel like that's perfect.
Yeah, I've seen a few pictures of the inside of the new club, and...
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be good. Pretty awesome.
Yes. Yeah, I'm really bad with club. Like, I probably could, like, try to do Wise Guy, like, headline. I just, like, I don't know how to do that stuff, so I just don't do it. But
it's hard, especially trying to get people to leave their homes. Because it's like, I just did a live version of this show at Club 50 West 3 weeks ago. And it's like, you get the typical everybody, we're going to come.
Of course. Well, it
and
makes
then there's
me
that teeny crowd, and I'm like, at least you guys can.
I'm glad that that's not just LA, because LA is so famous for everyone being flakes or whatever. But it's so hard to get people to come out, especially as they get older. They're like, I have Netflix. Like, why the fuck would I leave, you know?
Yeah, I can listen to this on iTunes tomorrow.
Why would I get out of my house and do anything? But downtown's a good spot for the club. That's cool.
Yeah, if next time you're back out there, you should definitely get something
set
up there.
Okay, I will.
So, you said it here, so I know 50 West will be like, we've got her now.
Yes, I mean, I'll do it. Yeah, of course I'll do it.
So was it intimidating to kind of come from Salt Lake into Los Angeles and try to jump into the comedy scene here?
It was and it wasn't. Like, I was just ready for it, I think. I'd been, like, really, after college, I was just kind of, like, fucking around and, like, all right, what am I going to do with my life, you know, and kind of depressed, I think, and once I moved out here and started doing it, it was like, oh, this is the thing. So when you, like, find the thing you want to do, it's, you know, it was really exciting. When I moved here, I just started doing UCB improv classes, like, right away, because I just, like, was like, UCB, that's all, I, you know, I was like, I know that's where I want to go. So I did that, and that helped a lot, because it made the community feel a lot smaller, so the same people all the time, and, you know, it didn't make LA feel so, like, huge, which helped. And I think that was, like, a big part of it. And then doing stand-up, I started, like, maybe 6 months after I moved or something. And that even more so. Like, I started around the same time as a lot of friends who we all, like, started together. And it was, like, a very close community feeling, you know? And, like, these are all the people who I'm like, oh, I'm going to know you for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
People who are doing really well, like Jake Weissman. I don't know if you know him. But and Dave Ross and the Guys and Women and stuff like that. So, It was scary, but I also feel really lucky as far as timing goes, because I feel like I moved at the right time, and, like, starting here now I think would be really hard. It's like, I mean, it's so funny we're sitting in the UCB, like, inner sanctum, because when I came here, it was only one on Franklin, like, the small theater.
I was stoked when this one opened, because, I'd always seen just the small little theater there.
Right.
On Franklin.
But, I mean, it's also just a huge, like, indication of how much, especially comedy is, you know, like, it was just there, and, like, there, I would go to open mics, there would be, like, maybe 30 people, and now there's, like, 60 or 70 people every mic, and it's just really intense. So I think starting now would be a lot harder here, and I'm really glad, like, for me, that the timing worked out when it did, you know?
When I took my first Groundlings class, even, it was it was fairly easy to get in when we were coming out. I was like, oh, they're doing some of the master classes for some of the celebration stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to get our dates locked down. And by the time we got them locked, I went back and one of the classes that I wanted was already sold out. And I was just like, oh.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's what it used to be, is like sold out, like, you know.
That's crazy.
So I feel, yeah, it was intimidating, but I was like ready for it and excited. And I feel like I met my people pretty quickly. And
so are they still staying sold out, like, all the way through the program? Or is it the typical, like, the 101's the one that sells out because everybody's agent's, like,
I don't really know, because I don't really do improv anymore, so I don't, like, I don't know what's, you know. Yeah. I'm sure it's still like that, but, yeah, I'm not sure. There is a lot of, like, people who are like, comedy's popular, you should do it, to actors, and then you see them coming from a mile away, and you're like, oh, no, please don't do this.
When I started Second City's writing program, like, the very first class was packed. Like, it took me a couple months to actually be able to sign up for it.
Yeah.
And then I finally got in. And then after that, I loved that that was, like, the prerequisite for the rest of the classes.
Right.
Because now I can get into any of them because everyone takes that one, so they can be like, I have Second City on my resume.
Exactly.
And then it's like, cool. And then they don't take the rest. So you wrote, like, 10 shitty sketches.
Yeah. It's definitely a lot of that, I think. Yeah. I'm sure. But yeah, if you can do all of them, it's a great experience. You know, it's expensive, obviously.
But. Yeah, it's expensive, but it's like, I know, at least for me, and I'm sure you saw it with UCB, like, you get, like, that first bit of structure, and then once you've got that to build on,
yeah,
it changes completely the way that you write and perform.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it just kept my brain fresh all the time, is what I kind of refer to it as, you know. I miss improv sometimes, but I don't know if I could go back now that I've been doing stand-up so, like, hardcore.
Yeah.
Because I definitely, like, have an aversion now to, like, goofy warm-up games and stuff, and I'm like, I can't do this. I don't know if I feel like someone's going to hurt me if I say that in here, but
They'll see what you mean, though. I mean, I don't know which games you did here. I know when I was doing some improv in Salt Lake, I mean, there's only so many times that you can do back in my day.
Right, yeah, it's just, it's fine, but I think it's definitely more for, like, actors and stuff, kind of, you know.
I had to laugh, though, when I saw Seth Meyers now does an entire segment of Back in My Day. I was just
Does he? Oh,
wow, you made that into a segment. That's
I haven't
that's
watched
impressive.
Him at all, but he seems like the most boring host of all time to
Not
me.
Not going to lie, when he started out, he was.
Yeah.
That monologue was almost unbearable. And then just randomly, one day, he was just sitting behind the desk. And now it's basically Weekend Update.
Oh, okay.
And he seems like a totally different Seth Meyers.
Right.
It was like he wasn't natural standing up and trying to do a monologue.
I mean, it's got to be so nerve-wracking to do that. So I'm sure it takes a little while for your, like, personality to come out, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, granted, Jimmy Fallon wasn't very good when he first started.
No, I mean, I don't watch any of those shows, but I'm just sick of, like, the same dude over and over.
Yeah.
So I kind of stopped.
So I really want to see... I mean, there's so many great female comics out there. I really want... somebody to get a late. I mean,
it's,
Chelsea Handler had it for
bizarre
a bit.
That it I mean, it's almost just weird to me that it's not happened yet, but who knows, you know. Yeah, Chelsea Handler was great. I mean, she's so personal and didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
I loved her.
Schumer would be amazing, but I don't think she'd ever do it. She needs
so much money.
She's
making, no...
even as we pulled in here and it's like her HBO stuff's
up,
it's
like,
and I'm
blasted
just like,
everywhere.
A year ago, most people would still have been saying, who's Amy Schumer?
Yeah. No, it's her rise this year has been insane. Yeah, it's cool to see, but it's also, like, terrifying. Like, just because, like, you think of it, like, you're like, oh, we're working really hard, and, like, you're hoping, obviously, you want success, and then it's like, if it happened like that, I don't know if I could handle it.
Yeah.
Like, it's so intense, you know?
It seems like she's taken it, of course, very well.
No, she's
stride,
doing great.
But there's some of those pictures, it's kind of like you can see in her eyes, like, what the fuck is going on right now?
I know. Well, I think the thing that scares me the most is, like, what we have now, which is, like, the culture of, like, oh, let's dig up some dirt.
Yeah.
And, you know, like they did with her and, like, some of her jokes about race and, like, Trevor Noah. And it's just like, huh. Like, I hate all that shit. It's just like, people have to be comic. They have to figure out what they're doing. And they're going to say some weird shit that's, you know, maybe offensive and deal with it. It's just frustrating.
One of them they dug up on Trevor Noah, too. I was like, if you really found that offensive, then you shouldn't be watching comedy anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
He had one about Jewish banker with his German car.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that was, like, the funniest fucking concept.
And, yeah, it's just, it's all, that gets frustrating. So I was just, like, looking at her like that, and I was like, that's awesome. And then, you know, also being, like, scared for her because I'm like, you know, it's intense. I mean, it's a lot of, like, stuff to take on, I think, emotionally, I'm sure, like, get that big that fast, but she's killing it. And yeah. It makes me happy.
When she won the Emmy, I was just like, there's nobody more deserving right now.
Yeah, no.
That.
She, like, and her show is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think she would want to host a late night thing. I don't know who would, you know. Who knows?
Yeah, it'll eventually happen, and it'll be incredible.
Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully. Maybe it won't. Yeah. I don't know. But we'll see what happens.
I mean, it seems like in any of
there's
those
a lot of good
nights,
choices
have,
out
yeah, there's a lot of good choices, and there's a lot of great writers to team them all up
oh,
with
yeah.
that they I mean they'd make it happen.
Yeah I think it'll happen. People are getting up in arms about women in comedy all the time, but
yeah.
I'm not worried about it, because like I see how many funny women are like in LA and all that stuff, and I'm like, ugh, it's not
yeah.
it's fine, we're fine,
yeah,
we'll be okay.
So now, after you had been doing UCB, how long after that was it that you guys started Lady to Lady? Because it initially started as a show.
It was a live show at a small. It wasn't at UCB. It was at a black box theater called the Little Modern.
Okay.
I'm trying to think how long ago that was. I'm obviously terrible with time. I don't even know when I moved here. It was probably, we've been doing the podcast for I think like almost 3 years. Oh, fuck, I don't know. I'll say like 3.5 years ago or something, we started the live show. We did a Little Modern, which was a black box theater, just like in this little group of theaters on Santa Monica. And the guy who ran it was David Janov, who is now our producer for Lady to Lady.
Oh,
but
nice.
He ran the black box. He was this really cool, like hands-on guy. And we asked him to start producing the show and then the podcast. And then that's what kind of happened. And then we pitched the show to UCB and got a show here. And the podcast kind of like has taken off on its own. So,
and you guys are like, what is 145 episodes
we're,
now?
Yeah, at 145. Yeah. So we just had Margaret Cho on. That comes out in like 2 weeks, and that
nice.
Was awesome. And
Margaret is absolutely amazing.
She's incredible, and just like her place. As soon as we got there, I was just like, I want your life. Like, she had this incredible portrait of Joan Rivers that was made. This artist makes them out of. Trash, out of like people's trash, their own trash. Like, he made
wow.
one out of Margaret's trash and makes it. And then like this Joan Rivers one had been made of female comedians from like Phyllis
oh, wow.
Diller to Amy Schumer, like this whole span of female
That's
comics.
Really cool.
So that was really cool. And it was just like this incredible thing that we saw when we walked in. And then she was like, oh, do you guys want some weed? It was like weed that like is named after her. It's like called Choji Kush. And like, she was like, do you want some absinthe? And we were just like, we love you. So she was incredible. And then just talking about starting and all this stuff. Yeah. So yeah, it'll be 150 episodes soon, and which is crazy. It's like weird to think. It's weird for me because like, I don't really like have a filter, so there's so much stuff that I've talked about that I'm like, oh god, that's out there forever. Like, I don't want to like listen to the first year of it because I was like really crazy, so it's a little scary, but it's fun. You know?
It takes that first year though to kind of get your style of a podcast under your belt and stuff.
Definitely.
I mean, before I had even started this one, the My House on the Moon podcast that I had done for a year.
Mm-hmm.
So it took us that entire year to realize kind of what the show was. We go back to that first episode and it's so ridiculously stupid,
right?
And I'm just like, I probably should have seen a specialist after recording that, because it was, I mean, we, since it was called My House on the Moon, the first episode that we did, in one of Ellen's books, she takes you on a tour through her house,
right?
And we were like, what if we recorded the first episode as a tour through our home on the moon?
That's awesome.
And it was the most ridiculous thing in the entire world.
But ridiculous is
yeah.
good.
And it worked. And, like, we still have had people that, I mean, we haven't done that show in 2 years.
Right.
But we'll still have people that'll bring that up. Where I
so did you do that every episode, or what would you do after that?
So basically what we did after that, it was a spoof on How-To Columns.
Oh, okay.
Where it's like the very next episode was How to Dress for Success to Be a Member of a 90s Boy Band. And then we had like one that was like how to properly loaf,
mm-hmm.
just how to be lazy correctly. One of them was how to road trip, and
that's cool.
it was based off of essays that we were writing for a book that we had released. And I mean, it made it fun, but then it hit a plateau, and we're like, yeah, maybe we should start like bringing the interview aspect into it.
Right.
But then
right.
nobody would ever like really go with the topic, and it just turned into. Like, the first one we had tried was, it was supposed to be How to Truly Be a Man,
mm-hmm.
because of, you see all the manscaping now, people saying, oh, those guys aren't manly.
Right,
and
right.
So we watched Morgan Spurlock's Manson.
Oh, yeah.
And then we had, we had like three different comics that we tried to bring on to talk about it. And
what did you think of that movie? I thought it was sucked.
It was weird, and it was just not your typical Spurlock
movie. It was just like real. I think he literally was like, oh yeah, put my name on this. And yeah. Then he was just like, okay, thanks.
Yeah, it was not your typical Spurlock, and yeah, it was. I remember finishing it, I was like, that was something else.
Yeah, it was definitely like very thrown together. Yeah. I mean, it was a cool idea. I wish it had been.
It was more or less like, how can Will Arnett and Jason Bateman get a free day at the spa?
Exactly. Yeah, that's pretty much what that movie was.
But it took us three or four comics before somebody was finally like, oh yeah, I can do that. And right. Then it ended up being a good episode, but then we just kind of threw that out because we were like, nobody's getting on board with that.
That's like storytelling shows out here. If they have like a topic, it's like, I don't want to. Just let me say something. Like, don't give me a topic. Yeah. I just want to do whatever. I think like our podcast is definitely like, we're like, here's a topic. And then we just like, anything that comes out of it is fine because... You know, you just want the conversation to be, like, natural, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and that's... I mean, even though we kind of started this off a little bit formal, I try to make it so that it's never formal where it's...
I mean, interviews are good, you know. Ours isn't really, like, an interview style, so I think if you're trying to get to, like, know somebody's history and stuff, that makes sense. But ours are just, like stupid shit that happened to us or, you know, whatever.
So one that I was excited to see, you guys had Kay Cannon on recently.
Yeah.
Who wrote both of the Pitch Perfect movies. Mm-hmm. Oh, I absolutely love her.
She's awesome. She was like, whenever we have people like her on and like Margaret, I get really nervous.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I have a hard time being funny in front of them because I just, you know, it's like a lot of pressure. They're like somebody who you idolize. Yeah. And like, Kay was incredible. She was so funny and sweet. And then like we go to her house and she has like a separate house in the back to write in. And I was just I want your life. So like I just was like kind of clammed up at first because I was like, think I'm funny and hire me or whatever, you know. But yeah, she was awesome. She was really just sweet. And
Margaret, I can imagine being a little intimidating because she's such a big personality that you don't necessarily expect.
But she was very laid back.
Yeah, she's very, very laid back. The few times I've met her, she's just so incredibly kind. And
she's so kind.
You see her stage persona and then her just everyday persona. And the act is that much greater to me.
Yeah, and it's like, but it's still like, even when they're like that, I'm still like, a little mouse, like, please love me or whatever, you know.
That's how I felt when I had Tracy Morgan on.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know how to be funny or anything with him, but what made it funny
with Tracy Morgan, like,
is
come
that
on.
He's just so awkward in interviews,
right,
that he just he would sometimes just give me one word answers and I had nowhere to go with it, and I was just like, okay. And I didn't edit it to even try to sound coherent because I was like, it's funnier
that
he's just throwing me completely. And I was like, part of me thinks that he was just trying to fuck with me,
right?
The other part of it is I think it was kind of early in New York.
Yeah.
And so
he
might
have been like
tired.
Half awake.
Yeah.
Sorry, as I am.
So it was an interesting interview to say the least.
I'm sure. Yeah, people like that, I'm just like, so I don't know. I get intimidated.
So who's kind of the dream guest for you guys to have?
I think Amy Poehler is pretty much the one.
She would be incredible.
I just love her so much. She's just such an incredible person, and like her, you know, everything she's done, her career is just like so amazing, and she can just play any character and pull it off so well. I don't know, I just love her.
Have you ever had a chance to see her live here at all?
I've seen her do like a few things, but only maybe like three times.
Every time I see UCB post that she's doing something live, I swear it is every time right after I leave town.
Of course.
And it pisses me off every single time. So after like Wednesday this week, keep your eye out because she'll probably be performing live.
Yeah, I should. I'll check it out. I'll look at the schedule. I'll just buy tickets for whatever show on Thursday.
Yeah.
And then assume she'll be there.
Yeah, every single time, like UCB will update their Instagram, and I'm like, are you kidding me again?
She did this one. I think I'm trying to think if I've seen her do improv. I don't think I have. I think the only show I ever saw her on was this one where they had like comedians or whoever perform songs, and it was just like the scariest thing for them because, you know, it's a lot to me it's more vulnerable than doing comedy, and she sang Blue Bayou and it was just like this incredible moment. She had a beautiful voice, and it was great.
Yeah, musical improv is kind of terrifying.
I mean it was just singing, it wasn't even like improv.
It wasn't even improv.
It was just like they were gonna sing a song they loved, you know, that's all it was. So it was great, and she I found like an old phone, like one of my first like shitty like flip phones, and I had some like recording of her singing in there. I was like, oh wow, this is creepy. Yeah, I think Amy Poehler. I mean, like obviously Amy Schumer would love to have on. There's that. I can now, of course. You know, we have a whole list, yeah. And my brain forgets as soon as someone asks me. But it's cool because we've really never run out. You know, it's like. It's so funny. If anybody ever says, like, oh, there's no, like, funny women or whatever, I'm like, well, here's 150 of them plus right. the 2,000 other ones we have on our list to get on, you know.
Yeah, that's it. It's one thing that, I mean, it feels like, you know, there still is that exclusion
right.
all the time, but I love that at least At Midnight's the one that has always stuck out to me,
mm-hmm.
that it seems like they always try to make sure that they have a really wide selection and always try to have almost, it seems like, every night, a female comic on the show.
Yeah, they're really good about that. I love At Midnight. A lot of like comics like make fun of it as a show, but I'm like, what other show are you seeing that's putting on three comedians on TV every fucking
yeah.
night? Like, there's none.
Yeah, you know? I don't even understand why they'd make fun of it. I mean, it's
I think
it's
people
a
are just
show,
like they, you know, anything successful, everyone's gonna be an asshole about. So,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's the typical where they call Hardwick a douchebag or something
right,
like that. Who he's,
right.
I mean, I'm sure you've probably met him out here. He's like one of the nicest people
no,
in the entire world.
He's so nice
world.
And he's worked really hard.
Yeah.
You know, he's really nice and he's built up this fucking thing from scratch
yeah.
into this show. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah, and big enough to be bought out by Legendary Pictures. Like,
oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Legendary bought out Nerdist,
wow.
Felicia Day's Geek and Sundry, and Amy Poehler Smart Girl.
Damn.
They're all part of Legendary's digital hub.
That's crazy.
Some little offices back there in Burbank.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. No, it's, yeah, I think At Midnight is doing a lot for, you know, comics and getting people seen, so that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, even just the hashtag wars, I mean, it's a
yeah.
good way that, especially for people that do improv or that do comedy, it's a good way to get your brain to think and to write.
Totally, yeah. Because I'm, like, not, Twitter is not my, like, forte at all. Like, I'll come up with, I'll have, like, a day once a month where I have, like, 20 ideas.
Yeah.
But I'm not, like, naturally inclined to do it. But that's, you know, it's nice when you have, like, a little assignment like that,
yeah.
basically.
Second City's kind of what forced me to start doing it
mm-hmm.
more. As I had gone through their late night writing course, they were just like, no, you need to be tweeting.
Yeah.
Every single day. Like, you need to be getting at least 2 or 3 jokes up a day.
Mm-hmm.
And poor Jesse over here has had to sit there as I'll write a bunch, and I'm like, is this one any good? I feel like this one's not worded right. And she's like, yeah, that one's good. That's fine. Just tweet it.
It's hard. I mean, it really is a skill, you know, to
yeah.
do the to shorten it correctly and the, you know, whatever. There's so many different ways to write something. But it is a really good skill. I need to do it more. It's one of those things where, like, I've kind of been like, ugh, but I just, like, I love stand-up. When I'm on stage, that's where I feel like I belong. Like, that is my favorite place, and that's where I think I do the best. And Twitter is, like, I realize that you have way more audience, and you can probably get more exposure, but it's just not my thing. So I have to, like, really work at it, and therefore I'm just, like, get annoyed and don't do it
yeah.
half the time. And also, like, it's fine whoever is, like, really into it, but I just don't want my life being spent on there. And I know a lot of people who, like, that's their fucking thing all the time. And
yeah.
I'm just like, I can't do that.
What I've had to do just so that I can stay consistent and so it doesn't just absolutely absorb me.
Right.
Is I will write a bunch all at one point. And then
in
I have.
Hootsuite or whatever?
I have a timer just on my phone every few hours.
Yeah.
And so it's just saved as a draft. I just click on it, hit tweet, and I go on.
No, that's a good idea.
Because that way it's at least cycling through and I'm not just like, I need to be. Constantly
yeah,
because
then
tweeting.
If I ever do it, I just am like, it's the next 2 hours being like, did
yeah.
anyone hit, you know, I just am like obsessed, so.
Yeah, plus my wife, I think, would kill me if I was doing that.
That's the thing is, like, I don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be like, you know, my boyfriend, like, hey, what about this one? What, you know.
She already thinks I'm on my phone too much.
I mean, we all are.
Yeah. So we actually have a wedding picture. And, I mean, this, most of the crap we have on our phones now wasn't even on phones when we got married, which, I mean, that was only 7 years ago, but still, phones have advanced.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a picture where I'm actually on my phone because somebody had called.
Oh, funny.
And I had to take the call, and somehow our photographer got it with me on the phone, and she's just got her head back, like she's rolling
hilarious.
Her eyes. And it's perfect because it's completely candid. And it was just like, we were like, no, we don't give a shit about any of those other, like, the cutesy pictures.
Right.
We didn't care. that was the picture that we have in our place, because it is great. So perfect, because we're like, no, that is us.
Yeah.
More than any of these just none fake of these, like, poses.
Posed, yeah. Smile crap. That's funny.
So now, when you guys started doing the live shows here, I know recently you guys even had French Stewart on.
We did. Who, it was so,
I mean,
fun.
He's been one of my all time just favorite goofy actors.
Oh, he's great. I gotta look at the video of it, but I want to put it online, because it was just like the, I mean, our live shows are crazy. They're very different from the podcast, because we have a character on and, like, kind of a story that runs throughout, and then it all leads to, like, insanity at the end, basically. So, yeah, I hope we can put that online, because the show ended with, like, we had this guy, Ryan Nemeth, who, he's, like, Dolph Ziggler's brother, but he's also, like, a wrestler and an actor. He's really funny, and he's done the show before, and we had him playing this, like, security guard who had, me and Tess got in trouble for dancing in the fountain at the Americana, because we were really drunk, and we got banned from the Americana for 4 weeks from the mall in Glendale, and, he played the security guard who, like, was watching us. And then we basically made him... It basically just ended with making him and French Stewart dance to Pony, like, the song from Magic Mike, and, like, strip for us. And then French Stewart was like, I'm actually an alien. I'm taking you all back to Tramp Planet. And, like, this idiotic, you know, thing, but so fun. So, anyway, I hope we can get that.
I did love the video online that you posted, though, wearing his Harry Solomon jacket and riding the little...
Riding the hoverboard. And then I just, like, I don't even know how, either. Just, like, yeah. That was so fun. He's awesome. Sorry, I don't know what you were going to ask. I
was just curious about that whole... Like, how did you even get him, like, involved? Because that was the second time you guys have had him.
Yeah, we had him on the podcast, Tess, he does a lot of theater, and Tess, like, has written a play and knows some theater people, and she knew a girl who was doing a show with him, and she was like, oh my god, you have to, you know, hit him up and get him on the show for us.
That's
and
awesome.
Now he's like, I can just, like, message him and be like, hey, will you do the show? You know, he's great. He's fucking great.
One of my friends growing up looked exactly like him.
Oh, really?
And he wouldn't believe us. So I was, his older brother was one of my best friends. And one day we were watching Third Rock from the Sun, and he comes in and sits down with us, and he's just like, I don't look that much like him. And then just sat there quietly, and then, like, 5 minutes, I was like, well, I guess maybe a little. And, like, I mean, he's a spitting image
right.
of him. So, like, I mean, very well, French Stewart somehow has an illegitimate child in Utah that
maybe.
That is
Have
this
I
kid.
Never meet that kid? I was obsessed with him. That's so funny. Yeah, it's the live show's, like, been really... We used to do them once a month when we started, and then, like, we'll do them at UCB, like, once every 3 months, because they're, like, a lot of work and just kind of, you know, too much to do it all the time.
Did UCB pretty supportive with, like, the marketing stuff for that, or is it all
you
guys?
No, it's all up to us. They don't really, they just have too many shows.
Yeah.
I mean, they put it on their website, but that's about it, you know.
But, I mean, even that's a lot. I mean, you've got people from all over the world, really, that go to the website that are like, hey, we're in Hollywood. Like, what can we
No, it's great. I mean, yeah, I don't really know, like, looking at the crowd, like, how much of them are just there. You know,
yeah.
I'm not really sure what the average is. But it's been a really good home, you know, for us. And I'm really appreciative. Like, it's so weird because I don't, you know, doing stand-up this long or comedy, like, you get, like, little accomplishments or big ones, but you don't, like, think about it that much. And it's interesting to talk about being like, yeah, when I moved here, I was just like, UCB, that's all I want. And it's like, no, I have to do a show there. And it's really awesome to think about it, because I don't, like, you know, reflect very much on that kind of stuff.
It does get weird when you do look back on the accomplishments that you have. I mean, I just had Tyler Glenn on the show, and we were kind of talking about looking at your success, and it's like, I mean, he's the front man of, you know, a huge band.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, I had to find... He had to finally find that spot where he was like, no, like, I can feel success in what I have. I don't need to be, you know, as big as, like, Justin Bieber or something
right,
like that. Like,
right.
I've done very well for myself. And, I mean, it's crazy to even hear, you know, somebody that's been on the platforms that Neon Trees has been on, for them to even say, you know, yeah, we kind of have to, you know, realize we've been very successful and just in that short period of time. But it's sometimes cool to reflect back and be like,
yeah.
I just wanted to do this, and this is what it blossomed into.
It is true. Like, I'm not very good at it. I just don't, like, I don't know. I'm not good at, like, self-reflection or whatever in general. But
Facebook makes me be good at it now.
Well, yeah, you can't with that. But I think, like, I have lately, I've been, like, happier because I think I've just embraced, like, I've been like, oh, why am I, like, of course, I want to make television. That's my, like, main goal. But also, like, I really am enjoying my life right now. Like, I'm doing comedy all the time. I, you know, like to travel and do it. And I just get to, like, do great things. And I feel really lucky. And I've done a lot of fun, cool stuff. So it's, like, nice to be able to be like, okay, fine. Like, I'm happy right now. Whatever happens, happens. But I'm, like, at least still doing what I love, you know. So.
And that's how you put yourself in the position, though, for those great things to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, I'm still, yeah, pushing really hard. And it's like, well, hopefully one of it works out. But if it doesn't, like, I'll survive, you know.
And I mean, you mentioned kind of traveling. I did see that you guys took Lady to Lady on the road.
Yeah, we did a tour through, like, the Northwest 6 months ago, maybe, which was really fun, you know, but touring is hard because we're doing it independently. We have to book all the shows ourselves, promote, and, like, it was really fun, but it was so much work. So yeah, I was just like, ugh. Yeah, so hopefully we're trying to, like, see about getting somebody to help us do that from now on because it's just a lot to do on your own. But it's so fun, and it's so cool seeing our fans from, like, different places. We have a lot of girls come out, and, like, it's just really neat to, like, meet them in person and see, like, who's listening to the show, you know?
Yeah, and that it doesn't just feel like you're just talking to
it's not just
an empty room.
Right. Yeah, our fans are awesome. They've been, like, because I do forget about that a lot. You know, it's just us talking like we are now, and, like, I forget that there's thousands of people listening to this, and then we'll get messages a lot. You know, we have a lot of different kinds of listeners, but a lot are girls, like, you know, maybe like 18 to 30 year old girls, and they're all, like, really cool. We got one recently who was like, I went through this horrible breakup, and I, like, decided to take a job on a cruise ship for 3 months, and I downloaded a ton of Lady to Lady, and you guys kept me sane, and, you know, it's just it's really neat when we get those messages from people who've, like, been like, you've made me more confident and stuff that I never expected. I'm like, we're just fucking around, you know, but, like, it's cool to hear that feedback from people.
Yeah, and just like I said, I mean, you're just fucking around, and you're not even thinking that.
No,
you know, you're making, you know, a dick joke or something like that, and that's that's somehow is impacting somebody. I remember somebody that had eventually written to me a couple years ago. It all started with me posting a picture comparing myself to a fat pug eating pizza. And somehow, like, months later, she kept liking, like, everything that we were doing and sharing it. And then told me how, like, she'd been going through this abusive relationship, and, like, the comedy kept everything, like, kept her intact and, like, feeling positive on crappy days. And I was just like, oh, really? It was
so
kind of
cool?
Surreal to be like, I didn't
like,
think
really
that, that would help anybody like that, but okay.
I know, we forget. I think, like, it's so weird because I forget that that's the whole point of it, pretty much, is to make people just, like, forget about all their bullshit for a second and laugh, you know. And we need that to survive.
Yeah.
But you forget when you do it every day that that's, like, the service. You kind of forget that that's, like, the whole point of it.
It doesn't seem like it's a service that we're providing any sort,
like,
of way, because it's what we just do.
And it's very self-indulgent, like, feeling. It's like, how is this a service? I'm just, like, being a narcissist.
Yeah, laugh for me.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly. It's really interesting.
Yeah, for us to take any type of stage and just be like, what I'm about to tell you is going to be funny, and you will
laugh. Yeah, like,
wow.
Your body will react in a way that you can't control. Yeah, it's neat, though. I love when people, like, reach out like that. So, if you're listening and you like the show, tell them.
No, I mean, kind of as you mentioned, you know, wanting to do television and stuff, I know that I've seen, you know, you've had a lot of stuff up on Comedy Central with is it a web show that you guys have been doing?
Well, we've only done one thing. Well, I guess we did some Vines with them. Me and my writing partner and roommate, Whitney, we've done a bunch of sketches on our own called Barb and Whitney. And then we talked with Comedy Central and we did some Vines for them, but they didn't know what the hell they were doing. So they were like, they only put up 3, and we were like, okay, well, we'll just post the rest of these. And then the director of that, Brandon, he had this idea for this Throwback Thursday thing. So we made this sketch thing with Comedy Central. So that's all we've kind of made with them so far. But I think we're talking about other stuff and trying to figure out, like, what else to
do,
you know? But it's nice to, like, have them know who you are and, like, you know, make something even small with you. It's cool. So
the nice thing with Comedy Central too, that I hear from everybody that gets chances and opportunities to work with them, is just how open they are to letting you do your craft. They're not
super corporate about putting their hands into things and saying, you're going to do it this way. And like, they'll give the notes, but overall, everybody I've talked to is just like, no, they let you do your thing.
Well, and that's like what's so important is because, you know, that's why they have the most unique, like, interesting comedy lineup of shows. You know, yeah. Nathan For You, like, that show would not work if they were getting a billion notes. And they're all built around these, like, really interesting personalities, like Amy Schumer, the Workaholics guys, and Broad City, you know. So I feel like they are really trusting, and they know good comedy, and they're like, they know that to allow the person to like make it, which is why I think you see so many like shitty like CBS sitcoms, because it's just noted to death, and then, you know, it sucks.
Beyond noted to death.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just people trying to keep their jobs because they're like, I have to give notes or else, you know, I'm not an executive or whatever. So Comedy Central is really cool that way, and it's cool to know them and, like, know that maybe in the future, you know, hopefully I can make something with them or who knows. But
I like that you do mention Nathan For You, though, because that show, I think, goes over so many people's heads.
Oh, it's so good.
And it's so good. What I love is that he actually does have, like, a business background.
Right.
And so he just comes across just so not so much charismatic.
He's very deadpan and
confident. Yeah, it just gets everybody to buy into it. And between him and, like, Andy Daly with Review.
Right.
I mean, they're just so perfect, and it goes over so many people's heads, and I love that Comedy Central's like, no, this is fucking hilarious,
and that's
it's gonna
what
stay.
Really good comedy is that not everyone is gonna get it, you know? Like, the best, my favorite shows are very, like, niche, weird shows.
Yeah.
I was watching Strangers with Candy again the other day, one of my favorite shows of all time, and, like, it's yeah, not everyone's going to get it, but then that means it's good, because most people are fucking idiots, so, you know. Of course, you don't want everyone to like it, because then, like, ugh.
Yeah, some of those things, even just, like, as we came into town, and I saw all the comic book stuff up with every single show, I was like, it kind of makes me sad in a way. It's like, all my life, I wanted those things to be movies and
but they're like,
TV
and
shows.
Now it's for everyone, and everyone doesn't deserve it.
That was never all over Hollywood. It was not.
It's too much. That's the problem, is when they find that trend, they're like, oh, this is the trend. It's just like, oh, fuck off, and make, like, two good versions of it, not 10,000 shitty ones.
Well, when Spielberg said a few weeks ago that he thought that bubble was about to completely burst, I was like, I don't know, Marvel seems to just keep knocking it out of the park, but then coming into town, I was like, I get what he's saying now.
Yeah, you see all the fucking billboards. I actually have a really, well, anyway, I'm trying to get in on it, because I have an idea for, like, a lady supervillain pilot that I'm trying to pitch, but,
Hey, you may as well get in on it.
Keep it around for the next year or something.
But yeah, it's a little sad as a big fan of it all, to just gonna see it now so corporate and...
Yeah, it's diluted.
Yeah, for the fact that Melissa Benoit is, like, you know, 60 feet high right now over Hollywood Boulevard, the Supergirl thing.
Oh, Supergirl, yeah.
And it's like, a couple of years ago, it's like, you saw her in Whiplash, and she had a minor role on Glee. I love Melissa Benoit, but after seeing the pilot of Supergirl, I was like, come on, CBS, did you have to do that?
No, of course. Yeah, it sucks. But yeah, that's like the world we live in. There's only, like, you know, I don't know what the percentage of actually good, like, TV, but it's pretty small, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, as it was, this like, fall season, I want to say it was, like, at least 40 new shows. I had Warner Brothers send me a thing where they were looking at kind of what shows were coming out and what people were thinking of them. And out of all of them, I was like, maybe two of these shows I'm even slightly interested in.
Yeah, it's interesting. I want to write for TV, and so I was like, I'm not very good at keeping up with, like, all that, because it's like, well, most of these aren't going to be gone tomorrow, you know, so why am I going to invest in watching a million pilots of things that no one, you know, aren't going to survive?
Is it network TV, or is it, like, late night that you prefer to write in?
I would like to do network TV, or I'd like to make cable, like, comedy, I think. I don't want to fucking make a show for Fox or something. I mean, maybe, but I would want to make a show for, like, FX or something. It's, like, a little weirder and out there, you know.
Yeah, I would love IFC. IFC or Comedy Central, just because IFC is another one. They give you so much freedom. And IFC really, really lets you kind of do the weird shit.
Yeah.
The documentary Now, if you haven't been watching
that. No, I need to watch that.
Oh, my God, that show is... Fred Armisen and Bill Hader are just...
I love the idea for that. Yeah, I don't really... I would love to have a show that, like, you know... like 40 out of 100 people love, and that's fine, and, like, hopefully it stays on somehow, but, you know, it's not for everybody.
Yeah, the web show that I had made about a year ago, that's kind of how it was for all of us that made it, and we were like, it's funny to us, and people go back through and watch, and like, no, it was really funny, and then there's still, like, the majority, like, yeah, that was really stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it was.
Well, but my favorite things are stupid and, yeah. You know, great. Yeah, like, me and Whitney have this one sketch where, like, it's just really, I'm not going to explain it all, but I eat some money and then I die. I don't know, whatever. But it's like a very short, like weird sketch. And I'll have people be like, I love this, but I showed it to my friends. They didn't get it. And I was like, well, if you love it, then that's, you know,
right.
Then I don't give a shit about your friends. But yeah, like, I don't know. I'd rather make like really funny, weird stuff that, you know.
How did you come up with the idea to do your fat Jew thing?
That was like, you know, it's so funny. I met his manager and he was like, I watched your fat Jew thing. And that was like, he must've seen, I mean, if his manager saw it, I'm assuming he saw it. He, you know, all that shit was going on, yeah. Where he had, stolen jokes and it was annoying. And then he got some, well, him getting signed to CAA was obviously the worst part.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I want to do something about this, but I don't know what. And then I found this video that someone had posted of him being like, we're going to fill up this tub with ramen. And like, yelling at this intern girl and then telling her to take off her shirt and get in the ramen with him. So this was based on like a very real video that
posted. I remember hearing about that video, but yeah. I never saw it.
And so I was like, well, why don't I just dress up as him and like be an asshole and, you know, and fill up my tub with like a disgusting amount of 99 cent store food. So that's what I did. And, yeah.
It was funny. It was really funny.
It's funny, but also disturbing. Definitely people were really grossed out by the tub. And I showed...
I just like the floating Fruit Loops. Like, it made me laugh so fucking hard because it was the last thing I expected. And just the shot where you just kind of turn and just like...
Oh, yeah.
Look at the camera, just like, yeah. it killed me.
Yeah, there was... The interview that he did with Vulture after he'd gotten like called out was one of the biggest things, because he just kept talking about sitting in food. That was like really all he said in the whole interview. Was just like, I've been sitting in tubs of guacamole for years. And it was like, he just said that like over and over. I was like, what are you? So that's pretty much what I was making fun of the most.
With saying things like that, it's almost like he's somehow like Charlie Sheen in a costume.
Yeah, I think he's just like a character. He's just basically a character, yeah. You know. But I don't know, I thought it'd be fun. Really, I don't even want to see that ever again because it like deserves me to watch it. But yeah, it's I don't know. I've been trying to do stuff like that. Like I did something a few years ago with the Adele Dazeem thing when John Travolta mispronounced Idina Menzel's name at the Oscars. I made like a thing of me singing like a nonsense song as Adele Dazeem. And that was really fun. So I've been trying to like make stuff that's like a little topical that, mm-hmm. you know, people maybe be interested in, like might have more chance of going viral or something.
Yeah. And having the means to do so is always great. I know right before we were getting ready to leave, my producer partner Austin and I were just finishing a script for a film we're going to start shooting next month. And I was playing around online and came across the new Honey Boo Boo music video.
Oh boy. And I was with just her? Like,
oh no? Yeah.
Oh shit, I haven't seen that.
You don't need to. it's 3 minutes of my life I won't
is
ever
she, does
get
does she look
back.
The same, or she look older now? Because she, like, I haven't seen her in a few years, right?
She pretty much looks the same.
Okay.
You get to see Mama June do a dance and one of those other
kids. Well,
because
they lost their show, so they're just like...
Yeah, they're like, please someone pay attention to us.
I like Honey Boo Boo. I think she's a... I don't know.
The music video is pretty terrible.
It's
disturbing.
I'm sure.
And I was immediately like, why do we not have the means to just like parody this right now?
I know, right? Yeah.
And it was right as last week's SNL, like their writing day started, and I was like, they'll have this within the next 2 weeks.
I was sad that the Fat Jew stuff wasn't happening when SNL was on.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
like, oh, I would love to see what they would have done with that.
I was sad that SNL wasn't on for that, for the whole Rachel Dolezal.
Oh, yes. Right?
I was so bummed that... They
I know, I hate it when
that.
Stuff like that happens and they're not, it's like, I want to see what you're going to do with this.
Yeah, I sit there and go, and it just goes through my mind of what they would have said on Weekend Update and
right,
how they
right.
would have done a sketch on it. No, it pains me now. And
yeah.
then they get on air and it's just like, oh,
there's nothing going on.
There's
yeah.
not a ton of great topical stuff now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least they'll have Trump for...
At least they'll have
at least
Trump.
They'll have Trump.
At least.
Hopefully not for that much longer.
We'll
but,
see.
Yeah, hopefully that'll at least provide some comedy for them.
I'm sure.
I like hearing some of the late night hosts now that are like, so we thought this was just going to be a few weeks joke.
Well, did you see the South Park about about Trump, basically.
I haven't yet.
It's a really great episode where they're like, we're going to put up a wall against Canada. We're going to keep the Canadians from coming into our country. And then, like, it turns out that the Canadians have been coming over because they got pushed. They decided to leave because, like, Trump got elected there. And they were like, we thought it was a joke. We thought it was just, like, all funny. And then all of a sudden he was our president. And, like, you know, that basically. And I'm scared of that. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger got fucking elected governor. You don't know.
Yeah. I mean, now he's hosting the Celebrity Apprentice, so maybe it's just a cycle.
Maybe. I mean,
it's not a cycle I want to be a part of, but.
No, but we're obviously very obsessed with, like, you know, celebrities, so.
Celebrities and train
wrecks.
See
it. Yeah. See it happening. We'll see.
So, what's kind of coming up next for you? I know I've seen you doing a lot of stand up, even with the Comedy Store and some of that. What do you kind of have coming up next?
I'm trying to, like, I started working from home at my day job, which is really nice, so now I can, like, tour more often. Mm-hmm. So, I'm trying to do that, basically. Like, next year I'm gearing up to do a few headlining tours and maybe prepare to, like, do an album, I'm hoping. I want to do an album that's, like, I always have this paranoia because I, like, talk about a lot of, like, stuff that I don't want my parents to hear, you know? So, I, like, want to do a double album where, like, it's, like, whatever, 40 minutes or something of me doing, like, clean material and then like 40 minutes of not clean, you know? So that's kind of what I want to work on next year. So hopefully I'll be doing a lot of like headlining across the country. The end of October I'm doing some shows in New York, so that'll be fun.
Awesome. Which rooms in New York are you doing?
I'm doing a lot of them are at UCB East. There's just like a shitload of stand-up shows there. I got on the Knitting Factory, so I'm excited for that.
Nice.
I don't know. It's all... they're all in my like calendar thing, but they're kind of all over the city, so I'm excited to do that.
I would love to at some point get my stand up to the point where I could try and even attempt the Comedy Cellar there, but I feel like
do you know what I asked what the like how you do that, mm-hmm. and somebody's like, well, a regular has to vouch for you, and then you have to audition, and if you do badly, like, I don't think in the audition, but if you do badly, like, at the show, the regular gets, like, put out.
Oh, wow.
So they, like...
they're super...
they're really intense about it, yeah.
Oh, so that'll never happen for me.
Well, I'm just letting you know that's the process, because I asked, I was like, I'm sure that this is, like, crazy, you know, it's, like, kind of like the Comedy Store, like, you have to really put in years to get up or whatever, and I was like, okay, well, never mind, I'm good, I'll just do other shows.
Yeah, I feel like the Comedy Cellar is probably one of the hardest rooms in the country.
Oh, no question.
Like, I mean, just even seeing, like, taped sets from there, like, I get anxiety watching some of those. Because it's like, half that crowd doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
They're there because it's a comedy club and they can get drunk.
Yeah. And I, like, you know, I don't really get nervous for a lot of shows anymore, but I would be nervous for that one for sure. Yeah, I don't know. I'll probably go, like, hang out around there and just kind of check it out at least. But, I was like, unless I'm, like, fucking on TV, I don't expect to get up there.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that insanely hard to get on there. So, do you go to a fair amount of shows when you have the time to out here?
Kind of. I'm not as good as going to shows anymore because, like, if I have a night off, I'll probably use it to, like, write. Or just to, like, be a person and, you know, live my life so I have something to talk about. But I mean, there's so many shows. It's insane. It's just like, you know, you look at the Comedy Bureau and there's fucking 15 shows a night or something. So I'm lucky too because I live in Silver Lake and I'm close to like everything.
Yeah.
So I can pretty much go, you know.
I heard there's, I want to say it's in between like somewhere over by Los Feliz and in Silver Lake. It's somewhere all up in that area that there's like a taco shop. Where they just randomly have stand-up in the back and, like,
they do.
Gaffigan has dropped
show,
in.
Yeah.
And, like,
it's
Lucy
called
Cage
Best Fish Taco.
Yeah.
And it's run by Jeremy Burke. And, yeah, it's a huge lineup. It's crazy. Yeah, there's shows like that all over the place.
Yeah.
Just, like, a tiny little weird place and then, you know, huge comics on. I run a show, if you're in L.A., I run a show every Friday night at a place called DeSano Pizza in East Hollywood.
Okay.
So it's called Sauce, the show. But, yeah, it's really fun, and, you know, we don't quite have Jim Gaffigan stopping by all the time, but it's great pizza, and there's really good comics on it.
It's one thing I do love about Los Angeles, the ability to create shows, get people to shows, and just continue to beef up comedy.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've always been, like, a kind of like a self-starter person. Like, I want to run shows. I love running a good show. You know, I ran one in my house for years that was like a show and dance party that was
awesome.
Really fun. And we had like Maria Bamford and Kanane and all these like awesome people. So yeah, LA's a really good place to like, you know, if you have the drive to like do all that shit, you know, it's good to be here. Yeah, there's shows in every nook and cranny of the city. It's neat.
That's awesome. So where can everybody find you on social media to be able to follow you?
I'm at Babs Gray on Twitter, which is BABSGRAY. And then my website is myjokesareuphere.com. and that has my like show schedule on it and all that.
Awesome.
And then, I mean, you can like me on Facebook, but I don't do anything on there. So,
yeah. So and where is Lady to Lady at? So anybody can listen to that.
Lady to Lady is, you can just basically Google like Lady to Lady podcast, but our website is ladytoladycomedy.com, and we're on Twitter at lady2ladycomedy. I want to get it all the same, but like that's all, you know, they don't have it available. But if you Google Lady to Lady Comedy, it'll come up. And yeah, listen to the show. We've had a lot of good guests. I would definitely recommend the French Stewart one. Aisha Tyler, we had on. She was great.
So that's one I would definitely have been very intimidated by.
Oh, my God. She was amazing, though. But, she was so sweet and funny. And then the Margaret Cho one coming out. We don't really talk about, like, being women in comedy very much because our idea is, like, let's just be funny. And we'll do it its own work. But with Margaret, we did talk more about that, and that was, like, a really interesting conversation. So, yeah. Lady to Lady. Check it out. And that one, I would like our. You can find us on Facebook and find our upcoming shows and all that stuff. So.
Awesome. So, well, hopefully, we'll see you even back in Salt Lake soon. And
yeah, hopefully. Yeah. I mean, I want to come back and do more shows, and hopefully they have the festival next year too.
Yeah, and if anything, I mean, I'll help you get up at 50 West. Or
hell yeah.
Jason Harvey definitely can.
Cool.
So I mean, he's doing his show. I want to say like every week now is Comedy and Other Opinions. So.
Oh, that's great.
So yeah, I always see him posting about it. I'm just like, damn, that show's
he's killing it. Yeah.
Getting built up nicely.
Yeah. No. I hopefully will be out there by the end of the year at least. You know.
Cool. Well, yeah. Just let us know. We'll definitely help you out wherever we can out there too.
Thanks,
so.
Man. It was fun.
Awesome. Yeah, it was fun catching up with you. So. Yeah. All right. We'll see you.
Bye. Oh, I just want to shake your hand. Bye. You have to keep that in.
Oh, it's still rolling.